Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Aggressive Negotiations. We're so excited to be here coming at you from the far reaches of wild space. It's another great episode. That's right. I'm already going to call it. And with me, I am Matthew Rushing, one of the Jedi Masters here. And of course, with me, as always, the one, the talented, the beautiful, John Mills.
I like all of those adjectives. I appreciate them. And I'm pleased to be here with the gorgeous, the hirsute, and the ambidextrous Matthew Rushing.
Wow. Well, yeah.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you very much. John, before we completely get into what we're going to talk about today, I just wanted to mention to everybody that right now we are running a very special campaign, a review campaign for iTunes.
Yeah.
For our listeners. And now this is something that is only available to those in the U.S. We apologize for that. But go over to iTunes, hit us up with a star rating and review. And if you do, you may win a very ultra-exclusive baseball-style tee with our logo on it in the size that you need. I mean, we only will be giving these out very rarely to people, and so it'll be coming to you. And John Mills is actually wearing one right now, and I have to say, it's turned out fantastic.
It looks quite nice. It did turn out well, and I will say that this is the ultimate limited edition apparel. Because this is not, you know, we don't have like a whole warehouse of shirts or anything, so. This is your chance to own, you know, sort of like a one of a kind sort of thing. And, you know, as Star Wars fans, we all love to be collectors. So there you go.
So you have till May 1st to get your review in. Everybody who's already reviewed is still in the running. So don't worry, you're not left out. We care about everybody. And so,
yes.
But we are asking everybody who's listening who hasn't gone and given us a review. Gosh, even a few words in your star rating, that's all you need. We just want to continue to grow the show, and we need your help to do that. And we also want to reward you for listening and giving up maybe a few minutes of your time over there on iTunes. So just do that for us. Hit us up there. We really do appreciate all the reviews that we've received so far. It means a lot to us, all the kind words that we've gotten over there. And the fact that we, right now, John, we're a 5-star podcast, you know, and so that means a lot as well.
Yeah. We're not going to rest on our laurels. We're going to keep earning that 5 stars week in and week out.
Well, let's continue to do that, John, because this week I wanted to talk about something that it's just been running around in my head. Part of that was because we had the newest release from Star Wars books, The Last Aftermath book came out, and we're not going to talk about that specifically, but it got me thinking about successful Star Wars books and what has made Star Wars books in the past and now in the new canon, what makes them a success? Like, what is it about a book for tie-in fiction and specifically in Star Wars that makes it a good book? So I thought we could kind of look back a little bit at the EU at the Legends line, and kind of mine there for a second. What were the most successful books for you in that run, and why? Like, what was it about them that when you read it, you felt, one, satisfied, and like you had gotten your money's worth, and you had gotten a good Star Wars story?
You know, I'll attack it in reverse here before I give any list of books, but I think that the magic for any of these tie-in books that has ever been is the writing. The style of the writing, I will forgive a lot of things if the writing is engaging and the writing is exciting. I mean, it's Star Wars. It's not supposed to be, a dry science-based exploration of the universe. That's what Star Trek is for. You know, you get your in Star Trek, you get the very Vulcan concepts of everything. Everybody's dispassionately breaking things down and how stuff works and explanations for everything. That is horribly out of place in Star Wars. Star Wars needs to have a sense of urgency and a sense of flair and a sense of fun about it. And I think that any author that can bring that to the table, if all three, great. If one of them and play it up really, really strong, just as good, just as valid. And I think it does come down to, as trite as it might sound, but the author you choose. I mean, it's very easy to say, oh, well, some people like this style and some people like that style. But I think that it's pretty universal that when you're going with tie-in fiction, you need people that can inhabit this style, Lucas's style. It needs to feel like what has been established on film, which is quick. And the explanations you get are not, you know, they're not always going to be terribly in depth about, you know, it works this way because, okay, done. And I think that the authors that have done that successfully, going back to the Legends line, you have Karen Travis, who did the Order 66 books. And also, I think MedStar was the series that she did. She did these Republic Commando books that built up to Order 66. I think Order 66 was the third or fourth book in that series. And it was really, really good. But obviously, Timothy Zahn is the most revered in the entire expanded universe history. So much so that one of the characters he created has been brought back, has been resurrected from, you know, the graveyard of the expanded universe. And I think that speaks to the fact that Zahn, for, you know, whatever foibles there might be in his writing style, especially if you go back to the original, because, you know, for the build up to Force Awakens over on 602 Club, we went through those original first three books, and there are problems in them with style, and some stuff is sort of clunky. But he created characters. He created Thrawn. He created these characters that felt like they belonged in Star Wars. And the way he told the story was quick and efficient.
Just something for the listeners. The MedStar duology is Michael Reeves and Steve Perry, who wrote Shadows of the Empire. So
that's right.
Wrote the MedStar books. And I agree with you. Those were wonderful books.
Travis did another set of books.
All of the clone series books.
She didn't write in another.
She wrote all the books about the clones, as well as she also wrote in the Legacy of the Force era. She wrote three of those books as well. So
which I did read. I did read one of those.
Yeah. She's written a lot of stuff all over the place, but her main focus was really anything having to do with the Mandalorian culture.
Well then, by extension, though, I've showered praise on Perry and Reeves for the work that they did.
There you go.
Misattributed the author. So what makes it work for you, man?
You know, I think you called out rightly style. So what makes me go back all the way to the beginning of when I started in the Legends line was the Thrawn books. And one of the things that really struck me about those, even though, as you said, you know, we've gone back and talked about those in 602, and there are a few things in there, but really the way in which Thrawn was able to mimic the feel of the Star Wars universe and pull that in, you know, it is that. And the biggest thing, I think, is if you're writing a Star Wars book, and especially if you have legacy characters in there, characters that come from the films, they must sound correct. And the most important thing in tie-in fiction, if you ask me, and I know this from having, I did literary treks for 4 years, so I've read so many Star Trek books as well. The most important thing in tie-in fiction is to get the sound of the characters' voices. If you can do that, and you can mimic the style of Star Wars in that feel of it, you will have a winner. Even if the story isn't the best, you'll still feel rewarded for having read the story if you get the sense that the characters sound right. And that the feel is right. And everything else kind of falls into place. And I think that's what Zahn was able to do the best at the beginning, was set that feel and tone correct. And then everybody else that came after him was trying to pick that up. And so I think style, character voice are critically important when we're talking about Star Wars books, because George has such a specific way of creating this universe. And I think when we look at, you know, say the Clone Wars or Rebels or the TV shows there or Rogue One, where they were so successful and have been so successful for the most part is in being able to do that. When they most do that, mimic the Star Wars style is when they're at their best.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, I think it's right to call that out. I mean, I think Force Awakens, the shining example in that. I mean, you know, you rightly call out Rogue One, but I think also Force Awakens. I remember my very first reaction to Maz Kanata was this feels like a George Lucas character.
Yes.
And that's getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you're absolutely right, because the characters, every single Star Wars film, regardless of who's directed it, but especially when Lucas was at the helm, there were characters that were introduced that were maybe one movie's worth, or, you know, they got a very short lifespan in the overall arc of things, but they were so memorable. Grievous, Tarkin, Piet was so, you know, so memorable in Empire Strikes Back. They brought him. He wasn't supposed to come back for Return of the Jedi. And neither was Fett, but Fett had this big fan reaction. They're like, "Oh, okay." But those are the types of things that I think, you know, that you're pinging on there, is that like these are side characters where you are intrigued. You want them to come back. You want to know more about them. But even if you don't get more about them, I mean, look at the Emperor, right? The Emperor is. I always cite this, and I think that he's a lot harder for writers to approach. I think that's why you didn't see him used very much in any expanded stuff, you know, pre-Jedi and stuff like that. Is the Emperor is, I think, a lot tougher to write and a lot tougher to pull off in book form than on screen, because he is such a classic screen villain. And when he has come into the expanded universe and the writing has been done correctly for him, and I will actually, even though the book itself isn't necessarily in the high pantheon, but Shadows of the Empire, the way that it dealt with those imperial relationships, you know, that was very, very key to, you know, what made that book work. And, but, you know, I keep going back to the Emperor just because he does so much with so little, you know, in terms of dialogue, that I think that's one of the challenges that authors find when they come to write a Star Wars book, is, you know, keeping it with Lucas, he was able to do so much with so little dialogue that he, like, it's, you know, the words are ruthlessly efficient in his works, and how does that come across on the page is very tough to pull off.
One of the other things too, and I love what you're pulling there, and one of those, especially in the Legends line, the places that I felt the most fulfilled, I think, was before Clone Wars the series came out, were the Clone Wars novels, because they were filling in those gaps with the characters and giving me that story. And what was fun about it is they were doing the thing that the Clone Wars series would later do, which was kind of help broaden my perspective of all of these, a lot of smaller characters, you know. I mean, you talked about the MedStar duology, Barriss Offee, you know, she was in that. You know, you got books about Anakin and Obi-Wan and Mace Windu and all of these different characters that not all of them were the main characters, but you got to spend time with them. And I think that was really fun, and it gave you a bigger sense of the word. And when you read one of those stories, you felt rewarded because you had a little bit bigger piece in your mind of who that character was the next time you saw. I mean, obviously we were just talking between episodes 2 and 3, but you know, when it made you feel as if you had so much more backstory, you know. And then, of course, after Return of the Jedi, it's kind of easy to make that feel important because you're continuing to build the story of Luke, Han, and Leia and the rest of those people. Mm-hmm. But the characters that I found most successful then, and some of the things that I enjoyed the most, were characters like a Mon Mothma, like the smaller characters that you got to see build and created a mystique about those characters in a way that didn't get to play out in the films again in the same way. So right. It's really adding those pieces to characters that you like in the background that you get to see more of in the books, and then it makes them feel even more important when you go back and watch those movies, because you take, you know, like yeah. those things really helped make successful Star Wars books to me back in the day.
You know what? I want to focus on one author that I have through the years. It's sort of legendary, the grudge that I've held against the book, Crystal Star, which for any youngins in the audience, don't read it. Don't pursue it. It's pretty awful. But Vonda McIntyre wrote that. And yet she was, and you know, like you said, you co-hosted Literary Treks for 4 years. Is there a unique challenge with Star Wars from your perspective? Because I haven't read a whole ton of Star Trek books, but do you think that there's a unique challenge with Star Wars specifically because it's so notoriously visual and score driven? You know, like the whole thing about Star Wars has always been, you could turn off the dialogue and just listen to it with the music and sound effects and you get everything, because it's very much about the visual triggers. Do you think that that's a special challenge, and that's why somebody like Vonda McIntyre, who was successful in the Star Trek universe, would have trouble transferring or translating that over into Star Wars? Do you think that that is the special challenge that exists?
I think so, because part of it too is realizing, you know, Star Trek is such classic sci-fi. You know, Star Wars is more science opera, you know, like
right.
fantasy
yeah, space opera. Yeah.
And there's a feel to that. And so I think that definitely goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is that there is a Star Wars feel that you can either create, so that, you know, all the successful books that and authors that we've mentioned, they had the ability to make you feel as though you could hear the music playing along, you could hear the mm-hmm. characters' voices in your head, and you never skipped a beat.
Right.
Whereas the ones who don't, it just feels like you're reading a book pretending to have something to do with Star Wars.
Right. It's a book that somebody wrote, and then they did like an auto replace where they swapped out character names and put Han, Leia,
right,
Chewie,
exactly.
and whatnot
so
in there.
So you're using the names Han, Leia, Luke, you know, and all of that, but you end up feeling like, but this isn't, it yeah. immediately in your soul, it doesn't feel right, you know?
So here's another thought, right? Shouldn't we have seen, like, it's tough to sort of like phrase it even the way that it's sitting in my head right now. But one of the things I responded to best in the Legends line, and that I respond to best in these current books, is when they subvert an expectation, when they take a chance, or they you know, take a leap. I'll call it for a second the Force Awakens leap, okay, where Han and Leia are no longer together. Spoilers. Nobody had the gumption to even propose such an idea back in the old expanded universe. And Lucas was notoriously kind of involved. Like, there were only certain decisions that made it up to the chain to him
right.
that had to be given the okay. I remember in specific Kevin Anderson saying in the book Darksaber that that when he killed Madine, he had to get permission from Lucas. And in the Jedi Academy books, where he introduced Kip Duran, he originally killed Mon Mothma, but then Lucas said, you cannot do that. You may not kill Mon Mothma. And that's the way he told it, at least. Do you think that there is, granted, we're still going to get some misses and some flubs along the way, but do you think that there's more spirit of experimentation with the expanded books now, or do you think that they're still operating under that locked down ceiling that doesn't let them truly be innovative in the storytelling?
That is a great question, John. So let's transition. We'll start talking about the new canon now, and I want to tackle that question specifically of some of the things that and we'll talk. We've been talking about what makes successful, but where has it not been successful? And I think clearly that has been, well, they brought over a book that was supposed to be a Legends book anyway, but then they ported it over and it was The Heir to the Jedi. It's just not a good book. It's yes. badly written. It doesn't, Luke feels off in the book the whole time. The whole thing just doesn't yeah. feel right. I think the other place where that's happened has been in the post Return of the Jedi era with the Aftermath books. And I'm not going to sit here and beat up on those books. I think the biggest problem there is that the era isn't free for them to be able to take many chances. There's mm. too much that they're trying to hold back, and therefore the books never feel as important because there are too many details that they're still not allowing them to have. And that's where the success was in the Legends line, especially post-Return of the Jedi, is it felt pretty open. You know, there were certain things they couldn't do. They weren't going to be able to kill any main characters until, right. obviously, they killed Chewie and, spoiler alert, New Jedi Order.
That's okay. He's alive again.
Yeah, he's alive again. but now Han's dead. So, but I think that's the biggest thing is like, is when you are trying to write something in a place you don't have complete freedom in because there are too many details being held back for films. And to me, that's been the biggest mistake so far is mining an era where you're not allowing enough of the details to come out, where you don't have as much freedom as you need to be able to tell the best story you can tell in that era. There are ways to do that. But I think for the most part, that's been the thing that has hurt the new canon the most in okay. that era. But there are ways to combat that because I think Bloodline by Claudia Gray was able to write in a way that was so successful around the restriction she had. She made it feel important and she made it feel like you weren't missing anything.
Right. I completely agree with you on that. And what I think is especially interesting is maybe there's an opportunity here for the book division to realize that, okay, you and I both adore the Clone Wars right. series. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. Anybody who doesn't like it is a bad person. Okay. I think we're on record as saying that.
Pretty much. I mean, and, yeah.
Yeah. But those also had constraints. I mean, obviously there were certain things that weren't going to be allowed to happen between Attack of the Clones. Like they couldn't kill Dooku and they couldn't do that. You know, so you know that certain characters are always going to escape and always, you know, do that sort of thing. But is there an opportunity? Should they be exploring the opportunity of doing stuff like the Clone Wars did, of exploring themes by creating side areas? And I'll give you a great example. The Night Sisters, who we talked about on an episode. Here is something that's never even referenced in the films, not even tangentially, but it's its whole own storyline that is completely related to everything that's going on, especially thematically. Is that the opportunity that they're missing right now? They are so slavishly trying to keep it so that they're not giving away secrets, but it's using all of the characters you want to see. Well, screw that. Use one or two characters that we want to see and then create a whole different thing over to the side that supports and speaks to it as opposed to trying to just, you know, pave the way for the next film. You know, I mean, I think that's, I think,
and
that's
I think
chance.
You have a real point there because one of the most successful books and I think still in the top two or three of this brand new canon era books for both of us was Dark Disciple. And yeah. why was that? It's because they were allowed to tell a full-fledged story about important characters that we loved from the Clone Wars that they weren't able to finish. So why not continue to mine an era where you're not going to be ruining story points for anywhere else, and you're not going to be telling those story points probably anywhere else? And so it feels important to us because we're getting that feeling. And I say that because even in the Ahsoka book, there's some very successful parts of that book where they tell us bits and pieces about things that had to do with the Clone Wars era with Ahsoka that just blow your mind. And you're like, I want a whole book about this. You know, I just...
Right.
And so it's like, why not touch the areas where you have full creative control and you're not worried about giving away anything? And it
exactly
makes it feel
right.
So important because it is so important.
Exactly right. And the thing is, let's turn this around to the points where they could have had success with some ideas from the Aftermath books, which again, we're, you know, everybody knows my opinion. Look at it from the perspective of, instead of having these interludes, these 5 pages of these people went to Cloud City or something like that, why not examine the state of the galaxy in through the lens of the people who are moving to Cloud City after the Empire has left, or something like, and you can do world building on the edges while telling central character stories that don't impact the film, but are great stories on their own. And just, and that, and yeah. Okay. So I think the point is that Lucasfilm should hire us again. This is a recurring theme for us.
Well, and okay. And what was, okay. Let's, So the trilogy era, the original trilogy era, we both really enjoyed the young adult books that happened in that era. And part of that was because they were able to, one, the writers captured the voices of the characters. There are a couple of silly things in there. I think in the Leia book when they're at like a beach place and they have to buy like t-shirts. There was some silly stuff in there. But I want to call out the Luke book, because that was so fascinating to me to watch and see a place where Luke learned how to use his lightsaber before Empire Strikes Back, learned a little bit about, a tiny bit about the Jedi that had come before him, just a tiny bit, and connect to the prequel era, but in a way that didn't ruin anything about what we got in Empire Strikes Back, but made it an important story, because then when you see Luke fight Vader, you kind of understand why he has any kind of chance whatsoever, because he's been through this experience. So that's a successful way of making it feel important without ruining anything, but adding something and expanding the universe. And I think that's the most important thing, is make it feel worth your while, even if it's not, like, I don't have to have that book. But after I read it, I felt like I did. Does that make sense? Even if I didn't have
completely.
To. Like, you don't have to read this. But if you do, you're going to feel like you did have to have read it. That at least that's how I felt after I read it.
Right. After 200 or 400 pages, at the end of it, you didn't say, yeah, okay. You said, wow, glad I read that. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. We are 100% in agreement on this.
Well, what are some of the other things, and I'm specifically speaking here now of this new canon, where are some of the other places that you feel like they have been most successful? Because I think, and I wanted to do this show as a way to just be constructive in our feedback and our love of what we have been getting,
right,
and where it really has been feeding us in that Star Wars sense.
Well, I mean, I think that you cited Bloodline. I completely agree. You cited Dark Disciple. Obviously, I completely agree. I thought Dark Disciple is so good that even if it wasn't a Star Wars book, I would have enjoyed reading it. Like, you could auto replace everybody's names in that, and I'd still have enjoyed it because it was such an enjoyable read. And, you know, I mean, the thing is, it's crazy because, in a sense, if I were to, like, give a list, it'll feel like I'm excluding somebody from the list as a way of making a comment. So what I will say is that what I want to see more of is I want to see more of the sort of things like the Crimson Corsair.
Mm-hmm.
and those sorts of things, those little one-off like dollar books that we got where they just told these crazy little side stories, you know, which again speaks to our point about, you know, make it feel important and everything. And, it, you know, the Crimson Corsair and, you know, all the way up to, you know, All Creatures Great and Small. Like those are the type of books that I think that they could really have a lot of fun with, because you're not under a tremendous amount of pressure for anything, and they're enjoyable reads. So, right. You know, throw those out there more often.
Right. I completely agree in that sense. You know, I think one of the things that I found so successful about the small comic series that we got by Rucka that he did, Shattered Empire, was that he gave us these little vignettes about what was happening right after Return of the Jedi. Obviously, what was very cool was we got the introduction to Poe Dameron's parents, which was fun. That felt, you know, pretty important. But at the same time, you know, the last issue was kind of this wonderful love letter to Luke Skywalker, but it also gave us a sense about what Luke was going to be doing, which was he went and rescued the Force trees that he right. had heard about in this Imperial installation. So you got this sense that Luke was going to start this mission of finding out about the Jedi, continuing his search. And we already know now from the Aftermath books and beyond that Luke spends a lot of time doing that. But that gave us a taste of what this character would be up to. And we don't sadly get to see much of Luke right now until, you know, they finally blow the doors off on Episode 8, The Last Jedi, finally, hopefully give us all that information. But that little bit, to me, that's what made that one so much fun, is because I just had a little bit of taste of what this character was up to. Also, kind of feeling the aftermath, the literal aftermath of Return of the Jedi on all of these characters and, you know, their continued yeah. fight against the Empire. And I thought, you know, that's one of the things that was really fun. And one of the things that felt so successful to me in this new canon.
Well, we've given voice to our opinion about what makes it work and what we've liked, both in the past and in the present, and what we're looking forward to in the future. I think that both of us would love to hear from anybody who's listening to go on over to thenerdparty.com/contact and look us up and let us know what's worked for you and what doesn't. Like what makes it happen for you? What makes you shell out the $15, $20 for a book? What are you hoping to get when you go and you buy Catalyst, or when you go and you buy Dark Disciple? What are you looking for when that book comes out?
And I want to say one last thing about that, you know, because John, I know Catalyst was somewhere in the middle for you, but one yeah. of the things that I really enjoyed about that book, and I thought Lucina was so good at, was just the building of the universe. And what he did in that book, to me, that I found so successful, was filling in that time period between the end of the Clone Wars and the Rebellion and the Rebels time period, and just kind of giving you, he really did a great job of giving you that sense of the galaxy slowly being grabbed farther and farther by the Empire and the Emperor and all of that. And to me, that, and you know how that important is to me, especially when we talk yeah. about post Return of the Jedi, that sense of where the galaxy is and how it's going and what's happening. That's where another success story came in for me. You know, I really enjoyed that book.
Let's have an informal poll then. Seriously, we invite you to go to thenerdparty.com/contact and tell us if you've read Catalyst, whose side do you fall on? Do you fall on Matt's side, or do you fall on my side, where I didn't have that strong reaction, where I didn't think that anything was communicated to me that was vital? And, you know, it's not that I disliked the book. I didn't, you know, it's not like I'm railing against it. It's just I didn't think it was as consequential as it should have been. Matt obviously disagrees with me. So let us know.
Yeah, please
we would love to hear people's opinion on this.
Yeah, hit us up on Twitter, yeah. too. We're over at The Jedi Masters on Twitter. That's the show's account. And you can also reach out to us at Join Nerd Party as well. That's the network account. So hit us up on both of those places because those are great places to reach out to us. Don't forget about the review contest that we're doing there on iTunes. Hit us up there with the star rating and review. We'd love for you to be the winner of the shirt, this ultra exclusive t-shirt. It's fantastic. You can even, we've put a picture there on our Facebook page with the rest of the Nerd Party at facebook.com/thenerdparty. You can find us there and you can see what it is that you'll be getting. It's pretty fantastic.
Yes. And you know, and while you're checking out the shirt, like Matt mentioned, we're there with all of the other shows. The Nerd Party is more than just the best place to come for a Star Wars podcast. There's a whole lot of offerings there. So stop on by and, you know, give everybody a listen. We're proud to be on this network. But speaking of proud, I'm continually proud to be on this show with you, Matt. Where else can people find you out there on the internet?
Gosh, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that I am so proud to be a part of this show with you, John, and proud of the other things that I do. You can find me on the Trek FM network. There I am doing The Orb with Chris Jones, talking about Deep Space Nine. We hope to be back soon, so keep your fingers crossed that that can happen for us. You can also find me doing the 602 Club, which is the general geek show there. We're talking about all the fandoms we love, whether it is Star Wars, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Bond. I mean, you name it, we're probably talking about it. So check us out. You can also find Star Wars, the 602 Club collection. All of those are on iTunes. Here on the network at the Nerd Party, I'm also doing Owl Post with Drea Kaufman as we walk through every chapter of Harry Potter from beginning to end. It's so much fun. I hope you will join us. Now, John, I'm not the only person that has other offerings here on the network and abroad. Where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on your social network of choice as Kessel Junkie. You can also find me here on the network doing Great Shot Kid with Mike Schindler, where we talk about the non-Star Wars works of Star Wars creators. Sometimes we talk about their Star Wars stuff too, but mainly it's focused on things like American Graffiti or Sisters, or, you know, works that are that have been touched by the editors or the effects people or the different directors that have contributed to Star Wars. It's a lot of fun. You can find me co-hosting Words with Nerds with my pal Craig, where we do it's a bit more free form. We kind of do whatever happens. And then over on Trek FM, also with Mike Schindler, I'm co-hosting Stage 9, which is everything I said about Great Shot Kid, but for Star Trek.
Awesome, man. I think there's only one thing left to say. I think it's time to close negotiations.
Matt, negotiations are closed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.